Hey, this is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell.
We are running a virtual fundraising conference on November 19th. It's called Fundraising Everywhere, and you can find it at fundraisingeverywhere.com.
There's some amazing speakers that we've got lined up for you. We've got some names on there that you will be familiar with and some speakers that you may not have heard before, but all of them will be sharing amazing fundraising methods that are proven to work, and they will be teaching us how to do that in our own charities.
We've tried to make it really affordable for all organizations, but for small charities, it is completely free. So go look at it at fundraisingeverywhere.com, register now. Join us. It will be accessible, it will be affordable, and it is amazing.
Yes.
You're listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Yes, it's quick tip time again. Pretty much every Monday-ish, we focus on one area of your fundraising, and we take less than 10 minutes or thereabouts, to think about how we can do it better, and I go through a few quick tips on that area. Today, we are talking about mail merge, and how can something so harmless and so minor as this, how can we do a whole episode on this? Well, this is important. And very likely you have dabbled in mail merge. Maybe you have just heard of it and you just haven't got around to using it. Essentially what mail merge is when you're typing up a letter or an email in word processor, in Word or in an email program, if you use MailChimp or something like that, there is almost always now these days an option to use merge fields, mail merge fields. And essentially what you do is you mark in your correspondence, this is where I want the person's first name to go, or this is where I want their address to go, or this is where I want their donor ID to go. And what the program does then is it looks up in your list of supporters in your database, or, you know, wherever you keep all these details, it looks them up and it pulls those details in. So it pulls in the first name, it pulls in the address, pulls in whatever you've told it to pull in. And what this allows you to do is send out pretty much the same letter or the same email to hundreds, dozens, thousands, tens of thousands of people, but to personalize it. And, you know, think of like an air quote that I've just done there, which you can't see. We kind of personalize it. So we drop in a few of the personal details so it feels a bit more personal. So we're not writing to whom it may concern. We're not writing dear everyone, but we're writing dear Simon or dear James or dear whatever. And to the person on the other end, in theory, what happens is it feels like you're only writing to them. That's the theory. Now, what's happened over the last few decades as mail merge has become more and more common is it's started to not feel personalized. We tend to use mail merge now because we can. We use it for the sake of it. It's there to do. It's very easy to do. But the receiver, the person on the other end, knows it's mail merge. They know you're sending this out to tens of thousands of people because it's really obvious in the way you've written, in the formatting of it, the layout of it. And so we've lost all the advantages of mail merge. The advantage of mail merge originally and what it should be is that you can write to so many people and for them it feels like you're only writing to them. And remember, you know, in fundraising this is important because we always want it to be one person speaking to one person. We want that one-to-one relationship. That's when people respond best. That's when they give. And so if we don't use mail merge very well, if we make some of the kind of common mistakes, for the person reading it, it feels like mail merge and we lose that feeling. It feels like a one-to-many relationship again, where they're, you know, unnoticed, they go under the radar and it doesn't essentially feel like something they need to take action on. So what I'm saying here is that really there's no point in using mail merge if it looks like mail merge. And in fact, it can just be like a time drain trying to do these mail merge things and then you undermine it all by having it really, really look like mail merge. So instead, we want to get back to that one-to-one relationship. We want people to feel like you're just sending them an email. Remember, people don't unsubscribe from people. They don't unsubscribe from an individual. They unsubscribe from organizations. So, you know, if you just send over an email to someone, if you just sat down and typed it to one person, they wouldn't unsubscribe from that. There's not even an unsubscribe button. You know, you may have unsubscribed to the ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends, but we generally don't unsubscribe from people. And so that's the feeling we want to bring into our communications here. So there's a few ways we can do this. And I want you to always be, as you type up your emails, as you type up your mailing, think about, okay, is mail merge actually going to add anything to this? Is it worth even the extra few seconds to put this in? And how can I use mail merge to make this a better communication? How can I use mail merge to make the person feel like I'm only writing to them? So first of all, it comes down to the data. Our mail merges are only as good as our data. So good data hygiene is really, really important. We obviously want to make sure our details are correct. So go through your list of subscribers, your list of donor details, your mailing list, and just make sure it's clean. Make sure things are in the right place. One of the common things I see on my mailing list is when people sign up to it, they do all lowercase in their first name. So they don't capitalize the first letter of their name. And what happens then if I don't correct that manually or use some sort of program to correct that is when they receive the mails every time, they see it all as non-capitalized. They see, you know, no capital letter at the beginning of the name. And they know consciously or subconsciously, they know this is a mail merge. So I make a habit of going into my mailing list as people sign up and just spot checking to make sure the formatting is correct. And if it's not, I correct it. If you have a huge database, this is something that you can bring in volunteers to do. There are also free programs you can use to correct the formatting of things like that. So just be mindful of it. But everything you capture, we just want to be conscious of good data hygiene. It all needs to be good formatting. Think about the data or data that you're going to gather. Yeah, think about what you're starting to capture. So when people join your mailing list, you know, typically we would capture their first name, maybe their last name. We would capture their contact details, obviously. But what we'd also like to capture is what we know about them. Yeah, so a few of the bits of information we have. Always being mindful of GDPR. Always being mindful of data protection and all of that. But obviously, this is legitimate interest, because if we can capture their interests, if we can capture a bit more about what we know them and they're aware we're doing this, it means we can send out better personalized communication. Think very simply. If you are an animal organization and you have cat lovers and dog lovers on your database, if you can record whether they own a cat or whether they own a dog, if you can record which they're interested in, then it's going to change. You're going to use mail merge to change perhaps the whole content of the email. You're going to send them different stories. You're going to send them different quotes. You're going to send them different photos even. And so, you know, we're not even just talking about lifting out specific words from our database and dropping those in, but using the tags we have in our database to shape the whole content. So think what else we can capture. Think what if you can use the campaign that they signed up to originally, if you can use significant dates that are going to be relevant to their giving. Think about all the things that you can gather and capture based on your fundraising program and how you can use those to better shape your mail merge. So as we start to construct our communications, as we start to write these up, we want to avoid inhuman wording. So sometimes we do it because we're writing it on a computer. And so we start to write things like Dear Simon Scriver. Yeah, we turn quite robotic when we start to type. But if we can sit back and read it back to ourselves, read it out loud and reflect on this, what we see is things like Dear Simon Scriver don't sound like a human, because humans don't write dear full names like that. They would say Dear Simon or Dear Mr. Scriver. So we want to reflect back on what we've communicated, read back through everything and say, does this make me sound human, or does this make me sound like a robot? There was good advice from one of my fundraising friends, Holly Pollan, and she says when she writes up these things, she doesn't use the merge fields in the original content. She writes it to a specific person. So she'll write, Dear Joan, and she'll write it with Joan in her mind. And then only when it's complete does she go back and put in the mail merge things. And that just allows us to be a little bit less robotic, because it feels like we're sitting down to write one person to another. Also think about what elements you're putting into your communication that makes it sound like a robot. So if you're saying things like, you know, if you're using mail merge to mark the donor number, so donor number 579213, things like that. If you put those in and you make them really obvious in your communications, what it does again is consciously or subconsciously, it shows the person that this is going to many people. So, you know, I would question why you ever have to put your donor number in there. But if you insist that you have to, then really bury it, you know, really hide it down the bottom, you know, really gray it out a little bit. You don't want to draw attention to it. So anything you can do to get rid of those markers that shows you're writing to many people, then do. Think about your design and your appearance. So, you know, if you start to put in a lot of images, if you start to put in a lot of stories, if you start to put in banners and things like that, it begins to look more like a newsletter that's going to many people. Yeah. So if you just sit down and you wrote to me, if you just decided to type me an email to say how great this podcast is, you wouldn't put a banner on, you wouldn't put these images on, you wouldn't put all this crazy formatting on. And we only do that when we write to many. So from the receiver's point of view, when we see that, and we know then that it's going to many. So there's a place for that stuff. There's a place for good formatting, good design, good imagery, if it's going to add to our communications. But actually, some of the best emails you can send are going to be plain text. Yeah. So you might still use merge fields, but you're not going to have any images. You're not going to have any formatting, any, you know, glorious fonts. It's just going to look exactly like one email written to one person. And you're going to see some of those are going to be the best response rates you get. So be mindful of the design and the extras that you're putting in, the bells and whistles. And are they actually adding something? Or again, are they making it look like this is a communication that goes to many people? The way to totally avoid that is to just write one person to one person. So, you know, even to handwrite letters to one person, or sit down and write individual emails to people. And if you're a small organization, you have the luxury of doing that. You might have the time to do that, or using volunteers to do that. And I would say if you can do that, because you're going to get the best response rates because it's one person writing to one person. Small organizations, sometimes we look up at these bigger organizations and we see they're using things like mail merge, and we think, we aspire to it. That's what we have to do. That's what we want to do. But actually, you know, you then get to the big organizations and they're working really hard and doing everything they can do to appear small. It's a weird conundrum. And so if you are small, small is beautiful. If you can write these personal things, then do it. If you can't, if you're a bigger organization, then really think about what percentage, what chunk of people you can do this to. Yeah, we, you know, mass communication is fine, but it is a last resort. So think about perhaps your top 10 high value donor, top 10 major donors, you know, carve out, you know, percentage of the top and figure out how many can you actually write to. So if you decide, okay, I can actually handwrite 10 notes a week, then you're going to look at your 10 high value people that week. And those are the people that are going to get it. And everyone else is going to get this mail merge mass communication. But remember, this mass communication, it is a last resort. Yeah. And so if we can personalize it, if we can write individual stuff, then you're going to get better response rates. But overall, what I would say is just reflect, you know, and this can be a hard thing to do as a fundraiser because you're so in it, but sit back and think about it from the receiver's point of view, from the supporter's point of view. When they read this, is this something that is just easy to ignore, easy to mark as spam, easy to put in the bin? Or does it feel like a human is going to notice if you read this, if you replied to this, if you took action? That's the feeling that we want to bring into it. We want people to feel special. We want them to feel almost like they're the only supporter, the only donor that matters to you on that day. So reflect back on any time you're using mail merge and think, am I achieving this? Right, that's it for this week or for this quick tip. I have another amazing interview coming up this week. I have a couple guest podcast hosts coming up. Remember, check out the virtual conference we've launched, fundraisingeverywhere.com with Nikki Bell. You're about to hear an ad for that. And go over to changefundraising.com, see what I'm at, get in touch with me. If there's anything you want to hear on the podcast, let me know. If there's any questions you have, then let me know. If you just want to shout out, then let me know. Have a good day. Have a good week. Thank you for listening.
Listening to Simon Scriver's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more or get in touch with Simon. Or don't, whatever, you're big enough to make your own decisions.
Hey, this is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell.
We are running a virtual fundraising conference on November 19th. It's called Fundraising Everywhere, and you can find it at fundraisingeverywhere.com.
There's some amazing speakers that we've got lined up for you. We've got some names on there that you will be familiar with and some speakers that you may not have heard before, but all of them will be sharing amazing fundraising methods that are proven to work, and they will be teaching us how to do that in our own charities.
We've tried to make it really affordable for all organizations, but for small charities, it is completely free. So go look at it at fundraisingeverywhere.com. Register now. Join us. It will be accessible. It will be affordable, and it is amazing.
Yes.